God sent Jesus into the world that he created so that people would not perish. That was God's mission in sending Jesus. When we look around at everything in our creation, things are perishing, aren't they? Things that you got last year might have already perished. Things that you got at Christmas might have already perished because things don't last. Toys don't last. I wonder how many books that were given last year are still loved and read now that we got last year, or clothes or tools. Things perish. Things destroy and break down, especially in the heat. Like our trampoline that we've had here in Queensland, it's just ruined because of the sun. It just perishes under the elements. The whole world is perishing. People are perishing. They're getting sick. People are dying around us. All these things are evidences of a world and people who are subject to decay, to wearing out. Who feels like they're a bit more worn out this year than last year? Thank you, Derek. I see that hand. It's great. So we're perishing. And we will finally perish and return to ashes. But Jesus says in John 3:16, it's Jesus speaking here. And as we go through the next few weeks, we'll look at the context a bit more deliberately. But as Jesus speaks, he says that God is sending him into the world that he created so that people would be rescued from perishing. Rescuing from being from death and disease and destruction, so that those things would not have the final word. Jesus is on a rescue mission to stop people from perishing. Isn't that good news? That's good news. That's why we celebrate Christmas, because God sent Jesus into the world to stop people from perishing. And perishing is all around us. What a great segue into talking about what God is doing in the world. God is still saving people from perishing. God is still bringing people to himself. God is still allowing things to perish so that we might draw analogies from that and go, wow, things are perishing, but God has put a stop to that by sending Jesus. That's his mission, to stop things from perishing. He's a good God. Secondly, we're told in this verse in John 3:16 that God sends Jesus out of love, that it's an act of love, the love of God. It's a design of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Out of love. God, because God is love. That's why God sends out love, because God himself is love. And that's his design, is that all his creatures that are made in his image should know and experience his love. God has designed salvation as an act of receiving his love by receiving Jesus. In John chapter 3 and verse 17, Jesus says these words, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world." Now, yeah, that's in the Bible. Following John 3:16, John 3:17, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Jesus. In this way, God so loved the world. God loves the world by sending his son. The world, not just a few people in Australia or in Israel, but the world, that people from every nation would come to know God's love through Jesus. The unbelieving world, the Asian and Muslim world, the atheistic world, the world with many gods, the world with no gods. The world, God sends Jesus into the world out of love for the world. In other words, for even those who don't actually turn to Jesus still receive some love of God, because God has loved the world. The world is a better place because God sent Jesus. He sent Jesus that people would not perish, but even those who do perish have a better life because God loves the world, and in sending the world is receiving God's love. There is a reciprocal effect. There's a vicarious effect. By God sending Jesus, the world is a better place. Contrary to a book that was put out a few years ago that religion poisons everything. That's not true. The world is a way better place 2,000 years later because God loved the world by sending Jesus. There are many benefits that the people that we know who are not trusting in Jesus enjoy because God has loved the world by sending Jesus. We call that common grace, that God has been gracious to all that he's made. And so God sends his perfect gift down from above. That Jesus is not an impersonal force, or God is not, there's not many gods, and God's not just smiling upon us because, well, you make your own luck, but God shows his love by sending Jesus, giving himself, giving a gift to the world that has lost its way, lost its identity, to a world that is seeking for solutions and answers to all of life's problems. Well, that's why God sent Jesus, out of love. And in love, God sends the answer by sending his one and only Son, the uniqueness of Jesus. It's been rightly said by a Christian author, and I think I've said it here before in years gone by, he said this, and I'll say it to you again because it's such a good quote. He said, if God had perceived that our greatest need was economic, he would have sent an economist. If he had perceived that our greatest need was entertainment, he would have sent us a comedian or an artist. If God had perceived that our greatest need was a political stability, he would have sent us a politician. Surely God didn't do that. There are good politicians. If he had perceived that our greatest need was health, he would have sent us a doctor. But he perceived that our greatest need involved our sin, our alienation from him, our profound rebellion, our death. And so he sent us a savior. And friends, God did this as the greatest act of love possible, sending to the world exactly what we all need, and that is Jesus. God sent Jesus on mission to save us from perishing as an expression of his love. And thirdly, in this verse, we read that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That there is a response. God tells us that there needs to be a response. I remember hearing many messages around Christmas time at carols in the park or different events. And it's wonderful. They tell us why Jesus came and that God lovingly sent Jesus. But something that is often missing in these addresses is that there needs to be a response. That it's just not automatic, that we can walk out the door or get in our cars and drive from the park thinking, well, we're all okay with God now because God loves the world and sent Jesus. This verse tells us there requires a response to believe upon him, to trust in him, to become one of his, to believe on his name. And someone, one of the preachers who are down for preaching, is going to preach what belief in Jesus' name is, to believe upon him. Because it is only those who believe in him who will not perish and have eternal life, according to John 3:16. Believe upon Jesus. This morning, believe in and upon Jesus. Believe in his words. Love his words. Believe what he did in his life. That he lived a perfect life. That he died. That he was raised again, that he ascended into heaven, he rules from heaven until the time comes when all those that he's joined to himself will come into his kingdom, and he'll come again and rule in righteousness forever and ever and ever. Amen. Believe his words, believe his acts, believe in Jesus. Shortly before his death, Billy Graham approved the following response to a column for many, many years. Billy Graham would write a column every week, and this is the last one that was written and recorded before he went to be with the Lord. And he was asked by the reporter, as per every other week, Mr. Graham, he asked, how would you like to be remembered? It's one of those timey things, obviously knowing that he's going to go be with the Lord soon, his health was going downhill. And Billy Graham said, I hope I will be remembered as someone who was faithful. Faithful to God, faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and faithful to the calling God gave me, not only as an evangelist, but as a husband, a father, and a friend. He goes on to say, I'm sure I've failed in many ways, but I take comfort in Christ's promises of forgiveness. And I take comfort also in God's ability to take even the most imperfect efforts and use them for his glory. By the time you read this, Billy said, I will be in heaven. And as I write this, I'm looking forward with great anticipation to the day when I will be in God's presence forever. I'm convinced that heaven is far more glorious than anything we can possibly imagine right now. And I look forward not only to its wonder and peace, but also to the joy of being united with those who have gone there before me, especially my dear wife, Ruth. Billy here quotes the Bible, says, the Bible says, now we see a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. But I won't be in heaven because I've preached to large crowds or because I've tried to live a good life. I'll be in heaven for one reason, he says. Many years ago, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to make our forgiveness possible and rose again from the dead to give us eternal life. He then asks the interviewer, do you know you will go to heaven when you die? You can, he says, by committing your life to Jesus Christ today. Good on, Billy. Taking that last opportunity. And his final words were these, and this may not come as any surprise to you. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Quoting John 3:16, signing off, Billy Graham. And that was the last printed words of Billy Graham. Fourthly and finally, the last thing we see in this verse, as I read it out again, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The reason God sent Jesus was that people would receive eternal life, not just not perish, but have life to the full. In the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, John 10:10, which is a wonderful verse that we should write on our own hearts and teach to our children, that the devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but Jesus says, I have come to give life, and life abundant. That's why God sent Jesus, to stop us from perishing. He sent Jesus out of love for the world, that we might believe and trust and know him and enjoy him forever, that we might know what it is to receive eternal life. Well, let me pray and then we'll finish our time together and sing Joy to the World. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that there is so much truth and life in John 3:16, that we know as John 3:16, but it shows us your love and your mission through your Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, help us to meditate on these truths over the next coming weeks. Help us to grow to love them even more. Help us to proclaim them in small ways in the coming days and coming weeks. Help us to teach them to our children and to teach them to our own hearts, that we might once again find joy. Not just singing songs which warm our hearts, but singing truth. Knowing that you are a loving God and that you expressed your love by sending your only Son. The great hope of not perishing, but receiving eternal life through him. Father, help us to open our mouths and our hearts to the Lord Jesus again at this time and at this year. We pray this in your name and for your glory. Amen.